You're listening to Around Comics, episode 93. Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Brian Salazar. Our regular host, Chris Niesman, is off for this week.
He's honeymoon.
He is on his honeymoon. And I'll be filling in. With me, as always, is the man behind the magic, the funniest man in podcasting, Tom Caters.
Whoa, when did we add that?
I did.
Like, it's sort of like very high billing.
Well, you're the funniest accountant in podcast.
That's for sure.
There's a show called The Couch Cast. Yeah.
Really?
No.
One.
I don't know.
One.
I have a side podcast.
And joining us, as always, the man of a dozen voices, including the voice of Word Balloon.
I have more than a dozen.
John Suntris.
He dropped a couple thousand since the last podcast.
How's it going? Whatever, Horton. Once upon a time, there were three little baths. Remember Fractured Fairy Tales?
Yeah, well, that's one.
All right. Well, there you go. All right,
Father Patrick.
11 to go.
All right.
You have Gay Waiter.
Also this...
Gay Waiter.
Good God.
Like Angelus
Priest.
Also joining us this week is comics veteran, man behind...
Survivor.
Every time you say veteran, I start wheezing over here.
I like when he gets the man behind, because then he becomes Chris Farley, and it's like,
I'm just aging.
Plastic Man.
Comic Survivor.
I always want to say Splash Bardigan. I don't know why.
Brannigan.
Splash Bardigan, that's fine.
Hillary Barda is here.
Mike Norton's still hanging around.
And
and the omnipresent stunt double for Josh Brolin in the Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez film Grindhouse. Podcasting zone, Mike Norton.
He gets to sit on a stool taller than everyone and lord over everyone.
He already is taller than everybody. He's a giant man. Right. How's it going, Mike?
All right.
You can't hear him because he's choking on his shake.
Yeah, he's drinking his McDonald's shake.
I'm putting that shake in quotation.
I'm sure everybody's already sorry that Chris isn't here, but he is on his honeymoon with his lovely bride Marta in Turks and Caicos. But he hasn't. He's already been on the board a few times. He called me once. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. There's a huge echo and delay. And he's emailed me at least
four
times.
What do you think happens at the end of the next issue of Daredevil?
Dude, you're on your honeymoon.
I've been thinking a lot.
Poor Marta. I hope you had a nice time, Marta.
I wonder how many statues he's going to come back with. I found some sweet bootleg
exactly.
Marvel statues.
Exactly. Sound like the only comic book store on the island or whatever.
In the Caribbean.
In the Caribbean. I like that.
All right. Well, this episode is presented by Borders.
Your heart pounds, your palms sweat, the tension is nearly unbearable. And then you spot it. The graphic novel you've been searching for everywhere. Right here in your local Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find everything that you are looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Click on the Borders banner at the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at borderstores.com or use the Borders Stores locator at aroundcomics.com.
And thank you to Borders. Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles.
The greatest lie in comics.
Located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. When you're here, remember to ask about Dark Tower's full list membership. It's one of the best you'll find anywhere. Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, indie comics, and trades, as well as statues and action figures. Come to Dark Tower for all your comic and collectible needs.
If you don't keep it down, Hillary, I'm going to tighten up your cuffs.
Get your list pulled at Dark Tower this week.
Wink, wow, wink. I think we got a new character for Mark for a mascot and stuff like that. I like that.
Dirty old comic artist.
Dirty old. Nothing draws in the
That's
young
like Mr.
crowd.
Natural. That's like a variation of Mr. Natural. I like
Nothing
that.
Draws in young people like a dirty old mascot.
There you go.
Well,
me and the horny manatee can get it on.
Besides being an eclectic mix of just silliness, this episode is our weekly news and review show. With that, let's go ahead and move over to the news desk.
Let's begin the war of attrition.
Yes, let's go to the news desk where our correspondents are standing. The Situation Room, if you will.
News desk! Over!
It is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News. Thank you to ComicBookResources.com for providing us with the very best comic book news on the net. For more information on these and other stories, make sure to visit www.comicbookresources.com. With that, it is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, well, first up on the news docket.
Because I could do a tax return right now. That's how sober
I am. Man, I needed you last week.
Yeah, where were you? First up on the news, comics up 14% in the first quarter of 2007 over at ICV2.com. Things are looking up for comic shops. Sales of comics to comic stores were up 14% over the previous year in the first quarter of 2007. The ninth consecutive up quarter in this recent run of increasing sales of floppies.
But I think the 14% might be slightly deceptive by the fact there's certain books that sell significantly higher. I think like the average selling of a book is probably
not... Oh, ye splashing to cold water.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm just throwing some cold hard truth on you guys.
That's right.
14%, you know, 14% raise because Civil War...
Events kind of begat, you know, well, increased Civil War, sales to satisfy people wanting to read events.
It accounted for a major percentage of the sales.
There's something called Civil War out there? Oh, okay.
It's a book. It's about Lincoln. It's all about a robot Lincoln fighting a robot Lee. But they love each other, but they're afraid to admit it.
Are there any monkeys?
Three? Two.
One. Only two?
I like it when the animated log cabin starts beating the crap out of Lincoln.
The animated log cabin.
Graphic novels were also up around 8%.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
That at least is something. So I think a little more genuine.
So meh to that.
I wish my floppy was up 14%.
Oh. Hey-o.
Ricardo for C. Ellis.
Next story. Yeah. Edward Norton, a star in The Incredible Hulk. A Variety reported that Marvel Studios announced Ed Norton will take on the role of Bruce Banner, taking over for Eric Bana in the 2003 film directed by Ang Lee.
Oh, man.
Any word on who's directing the new
Zach Penn, who did Elektra, X2, X-Men, The Last Stand.
I thought he's writing them.
Oh, I'm
sorry,
you're right. He's writing them. Yeah. Well, I don't know who's directing them.
I'm in the running.
I don't think it's... Oh, Tom. Right. Tom.
Excellent. Yeah. Cool casting.
I don't know that they've mentioned anything about director
who's done
at this
rock
point.
Video, they'll hire anybody.
I don't believe it's going to be Ang Lee.
What's it? It's just got a $200 million budget or something. They don't care who directs it. Yeah.
They should just get Robert Rodriguez. Yeah. He can do it.
First time.
$43 million.
But that's pretty cool that Norton is... I think he's making such a mainstream choice like that.
Well, you see Robert Downey Jr. doing Iron Man now, which I thought was interesting and sort of a, you know...
But Downey needs the work. I mean, that's the thing.
Well, what was the last thing Norton... He did The Illusionist, which wasn't exactly a box office...
You're
right,
but it was more of a critical... I mean, that's the thing.
It was a critical success.
It always seems Norton was able to make the highbrow choice as far as
speaking
film
of
projects.
Mike, any relation to Ed Norton?
No.
No, nothing at all.
You know, I'll tell you what, though, when I see that on Newsarama that Norton's playing the Hulk, I'm like, oh, DC's going to get mad at me.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
That would be a technical violation of your contract. You know, if only Norton could have turned into the Hulk in Fight Club. That could have really kicked some
ass. Well, I know Dave Wachter would agree with me, but I wasn't a huge fan of Incredible Hulk. I didn't hate it. I did not like Eric Bana. I thought he was very bad in the film. I thought he was the worst part of the film.
But here's the thing, though, about the Hulk.
You see it?
I haven't seen it.
I think it's a difficult role to play, because if you play Bruce Banner correctly, you're supposed to play a guy who isn't very emotive. Like, I mean, the whole point of it is he's supposed to be this sort of depressed guy who's sort of, like, bottled up. And maybe Ed Norton will do it better.
I think he will.
I thought Peter David pegged it right, and if I remember correctly, I heard him say this, and I'll cite the right source on Fanboy Radio, and I think he was right. It was, some movies have great beginnings, some movies have great endings. I think the Hulk had a very interesting middle.
Yeah.
But I think because they had thrown so many different things into the mix of... It wasn't just the gamma bomb. It was the nanites. It was his own personal issues
his
with
dad,
his father.
Yeah.
Exactly. That kind of muddled the beginning. And then all the crazy shit with his dad as well at the end kind of screwed things up.
Yeah.
But that
the middle was good. It was very traditional.
Exactly. Hulk in the desert fighting the military.
Excellent.
They got
that was,
right. Yeah. And that's why I have faith in the sequel, because I think the technical end is set. And I didn't really... Eric Bana was at least... adroit. I'd say he was, you know, capable. I mean, I don't think he was amazing, and I don't think, like, the way Tobey Maguire really kind of made his own, or even Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Wolverine made,
really
made
kind
that
of claimed,
character.
Yeah, or at least claimed the movie version of it.
Sure,
you know, but I mean, obviously, Norton's got the chops. I mean, he's truly one of our great actors.
Question. Absolutely.
Question, did he wear purple pants?
I don't think he did wear purple pants, actually, the Hulk.
Yeah, he had purple
like
pants.
Jogging pants.
Yeah, they had to figure out some way to explain it without him, without him jumping back to the disco days or something.
Well, we'll see what
my favorite mad scientist in movies, though, is, I mean, because Bruce Banner is a scientist.
Sure.
Has to be Jeff Goldblum in The Fly.
Jeff Goldblum.
I don't know. I thought that was the first good mad scientist that I could actually believe was a scientist. Yeah. He seemed intelligent.
Enough
they usually
to,
just seem mad.
Yeah, right.
They don't seem bright. They just seem like a ham character actor, you know, just, you know, going crazy, you know.
Well, yeah. going back to, like, you know,
Colin Clive,
Frankenstein. You know what I mean? It's like
hacker over
alive,
the top.
It's alive.
But they didn't actually seem to play scientists.
Right.
They actually went to a university somewhere.
Intelligent. Well, yeah, his character started out, you know, he was sort of a nerdy, you know, brainy guy, and absolutely captured that.
And then he got his powers, and what did he use them for? Man, he's screwed like a, like a scientist with powers.
Like a mad scientist.
Gina Davis, what are you going to do?
Okay.
All right.
Seen another comic book movie where they took advantage of the powers that way?
No. Definitely.
And so. Goldblum's new TV show, Reigns, has some comic book connections.
That's a fun show.
I actually enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it a lot. Well, what you were talking about before on the Crankcast, like, you can't stop watching him.
I can't.
He's just
great.
The writing isn't... the writing can be lousy in places, but he's good.
Like, ultra fantastic, but he... I mean,
he's so engaging.
You just watch him.
Yeah.
Like, wow. What happened in the show? I'm just watching him act weird.
You made a point about it.
It's like actually work against the script sometimes. Yeah. And he's almost kind of making fun of the scene sometimes.
Yeah.
And it works. It works. Yeah.
But you had made a great point. It's like I don't remember a show where the main character was so much the show. You know what I mean? He's 95% of the scenes.
I don't really notice it a lot. Where I don't think I've ever seen a show where it was obvious that he's carrying this show. This show would be nothing if he wasn't on it.
But the other connection is Gabe Hardman.
It doesn't work that way.
Gabe Hardman is a storyboard artist. He's worked on Spider-Man 3, and I think he's working on a bunch of other comic book films as a storyboard artist. We met him in New York, and he's going to be on the show in May talking about Spider-Man 3. But he works on Reigns. He's worked on Reigns. There was a couple episodes that involved... one episode involved a comic book shop
and an illustrator. Last week, I think.
That was all his art.
What's the guy's name?
Gabe Hardman is his name, and he's actually working on a graphic novel right now.
So there was a corpse. There was a corpse in that episode.
Yes, there's a corpse in every one
of those. Well, there's also a corpse involved in the Marvel Zombies Dead Days.
Marvel announced
special one shot.
Are zombies corpses?
There's 900 of them.
I'm really glad you said that, Mike, because honestly, I'm so done with Marvel Zombies, and I really think this is going to be the, you know, dollar
Magnum
bin.
Opus?
The dollar bin swan genre. That will be, you know, in the 2010s. I think that's what it's going to be. You know, there's just too many of these goddamn books.
But I understand.
I don't know. How many zombie books are there out right now?
No, but I'm saying specifically the Marvel Zombies.
Okay, how many Marvel Zombies have been done? Three? Well, you have Marvel Zombies,
the miniseries.
Then you got Marvel Zombie versus Army of Darkness. That was 1978.
When the Harlem Globetrotters are facing the
You've had like three Marvel Zombie books.
I'm sorry.
Miniseries.
Yeah, I guess because they...
How many books does Marvel publish a month? 80? And you got three zombie books? How many superhero books
Does
they got?
I'm done with the concept. I'm sorry.
Well... I don't know.
You know, myself.
I was done with the concept after the first issue.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Well, anyway.
And I mean, I, you know.
For those of you that may like Marvel Zombies.
Which there's a lot of you.
Creative team Robert Kirkman and Sean Phillips are doing Dead Days, which is a prequel to the original Marvel Zombies.
No reflection on Sean, no reflection on, reflection on Kirkman or Soydum.
Oh, no, you're insulting them personally.
Amazing covers. These are wonderful covers and stuff, and I that's the thing, but...
Oh, that's art to them right there?
Yeah. You know.
Well, they're selling the shit out of them, so I can't blame them for doing more.
All right.
DC offering a Batman neon sign to retailers. I was following last year's Superman neon sign.
If you're a retailer, pick one up. Like?
DC Comics is pleased to offer retailers a new exciting promotional item, Batman neon sign. Idea for window display. It measures 7.65 inches.
Stop. Why are you reading the dimensions?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Can
it's the Batman. It's a, well, he asked what it looked like. It's like 7 by 15 by 26, and it's the Batman chest emblem.
To tie into another Batman story, photography has begun on the new Batman film in Chicago.
I heard that, yeah.
The crew is in town doing pre-production shooting now. And later,
picture of the Joker online.
Later on in the summer, they're going to be here doing the full-fledged Gotham scenes. So we're looking forward to that.
Very cool.
And I think my favorite thing when they were making Batman Begins was seeing the pictures of the Batmobile with a drop cloth on it parked on Laura Wacker Drive. Yeah. And you'd get guys like, hey, nice, let me get a picture of me next to the Batmobile. Over by there.
over by there.
Outstanding.
It's nice.
This is me right after eating a Polish sausage with the Batmobile.
Mark, going back to the neon sign, are you going to be ordering a DC Batman neon sign?
I am now. I fuck if I knew about it. Like they tell us about it.
You didn't know about the Superman one?
We're offering it to all retailers. We're just not going to tell anyone.
We're not going to tell them.
Just post it on Newsarama. What do you want?
It's a surprise.
All right, next story. Dallas proclaims Free Comic Book Day in honor of Cape. This is a weird... It's like Cape 3 Bride of Cape, the Comic and Pop Culture Expo. This is the second year the city has bestowed Cape, the world's largest Free Comic Book Day event.
Cape is a comic show in Dallas that features a lot of local talent.
And they're naming it the official event of Free Comic Book Day.
That's good for Dallas.
Yeah, if you want more information, capeday.com.
I proclaim tomorrow my official day of going out to brunch.
Excellent.
Yeah, thank you. Everyone who wants to join me,
I'm putting that on my calendar.
Every day is Jennifer Holiday Day.
Very true.
Every day is brunch day.
This weekend is going to be APE. Speaking of another convention that ends in APE, the Alternative Press Expo, April 21st and 22nd. Last year, over 4,800 people attended the underground event. This year, it's April 21st and 22nd. Independent. It's the very independent comic, sort of the independent comic con.
I've always wanted to go to APE.
Yeah.
I've been to SPX in Bethesda, but I always wanted to go to APE because that's supposed to be the big one as far as like. Indie comics.
What's kept you away?
It's in San Francisco. That's far away.
Fuck money, man.
All right. Fair enough.
And they throw rocks at me.
I think it would be interesting to check it out. I'd like to see the differences between that crowd and like the Wizard World of New York Comic Con crowd and see, what the similarities or the differences between
more
the
girls.
Two
exactly.
The
that's
manga.
A good point.
Yeah. Sure.
Pretty much.
Sounds like a plan then. Next year we're gonna hit this. Next story: Fallen Sun, The Death of Captain America, Special Edition. Marvel's coming out with a blank cover that you can go and then take to your favorite artist. It's Captain America: Fallen Sun. This is a reprint, but it's a special variant edition cover of white.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's got white edges, if I remember that what they told us.
No, it's a white center.
No, it's completely
white.
It's a white center. You can go and get it sketched. Now, I'm taking credit for this because when Hero did the Spider-Man 100 sketch variants that everybody they sold,
right.
I called and talked to somebody McCann at Marvel, and I said, hey, how come you guys didn't print a bunch of blanks and sell them for people to go and get sketches done by people? And they didn't think of it, but now all of a sudden they come out with this. My idea. I'm taking credit for it. So.
Well, based on half the Marvel comics I see, most of their covers should be blank.
Hey,
you'll be getting.
I told you guys at the FX show in Orlando, Mark Texeria was taking Astonishing X-Men covers, which was the white cover where Wolverine looks shocked at something, and you don't see what he looks that's freaking him out. And Mark would draw various things, and one guy paid him like a couple hundred bucks to draw a naked Aunt May.
Oh.
And it was the funniest thing in the world. And it was like Grandma Bunny in Playboy.
It's fucking hilarious.
And it was hilarious. It was awesome. And Texaria just
had
a blast doing it. It was so he's like, look at this, isn't this great?
No, I think it's like, it's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, I don't, you know,
Aunt May or for she may not.
For conventions and stuff,
apparently
I mean,
she was ready to.
People that dig getting a lot of sketches.
Oh, that's really smart.
It would be kind of cool to, you know, get a Mike Norton sketch get a Hillary Barta.
They won't let me near any Marvel
comics anymore
after what I just said. So.
I think
it was a joke, I swear.
It's a good idea because somebody will buy it, but like really honestly, like turn over a piece of paper and you can go ask for someone to draw you a sketch.
I think what they should do...
But it does become an individual collectible.
Yeah.
You know what they should do?
Get somebody cool to do it.
They should do a cover.
I still think
they should do this hero, right? And his face is a mirror, so like every little kid can look into that hero's face and see their own face, and they could become that hero. They'd identify with the character. They'd want to buy a copy for all their friends. It'd be a great, great idea.
Everyone would want to buy it, but myself.
Yeah. You don't even need artists to do that.
No, every page could be a mirror.
What I'm going to do is I'll buy one, and I'm going to ask someone to draw $3 on the cover.
Well, they only, you know, the interesting thing is, like, you know, you're going to buy a $3 book and then pay anywhere from $20 to $200 for somebody to draw.
They're really, like, the best part about that is what they should do is they should drop the price on all books. Whatever price factor goes into cover artist, cut the price down on the books and send you out to go get your own cover.
Are they going
to
print it on glossy stock like all the rest of the covers that you can't draw on, or are they going to print it on something worth drawing on? You know, like... Something all kid finished.
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows what it's going to end up being?
Yeah.
But whatever.
All right. Well, the next story is something that may interest Tom. Flash, fastest man alive, ordering incentive. They're so
confident. That
doesn't
interest me at all.
I know. But they're so confident in Guggenheim's take on the Flash that they're offering
Guggenheim's doing the Flash?
Excuse me. I guess this is a smoke signal, much like Captain America 25 was. Am I correct?
You might want to order more of this.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they
could
do.
Be.
Bring back Barry Allen for 3 issues and then have him disappear again.
Right, and it could be a stunt.
They have been saying, you know, it's like there's something huge happening.
Coming
in this issue.
Well, somebody's been conspicuously absent from The Flash, and I would imagine his return might be coming.
Well, there you go. So I guess it doesn't interest you, Tom, but
it
may interest real Flash fans.
I'm just going to buy it anyway.
Real Flash.
The incentive isn't for me.
I don't know.
The incentive for me is good writing.
Oddly enough, the cover will have Captain America on it.
I can give whatever
cover.
I
that know. Missing cover from the death of Captain America is floating around somewhere. It's going to turn up eventually.
I can't wait for people to complain about. I got a book with no cover on.
Oh God! All right, can we get past the blank cover? Good Lord!
No.
Heroic Publishing and. Etitude? Media?
You wrote it, man.
Hey, how do you say it? Etitude Media launch.
You don't want to hear how I pronounce it.
ComicsOnScreen.com. They're launching www.comicsonscreen.com. That will make Heroic Publishing's entire inventory of comic book story material, past, present, and future, available on a subscription basis.
I like the time
which I thought was interesting.
Digital comics and their own version of digital comics.
Yeah, it's like $9.99 a month. You can subscribe and you get full access to anything that they're putting out.
I like the conundrum that you will be able to see all comics from the future that they make.
Yes, I would look forward to the comics of 2050.
How odd.
3D Man!
Well, maybe the more interesting part of that story is the next story, which is that Heroic Publishing president Dennis Maloney has been all over the internet claiming that Marvel does not own the trademark to the comic book that would be called Champions.
I do.
And we know that Matt Fraction is
going
to be working on a book, writing a book called, the Return of the Champions.
The team is the Champions.
The Champions. And now all of a sudden, Heroic president is coming out saying that they don't own that copyright any longer.
Yeah, that's always that murky water where there are two, both companies will have Captain Marvels, both companies will have Guardians. I guess, obviously, though, it does break down to the title.
You've got a company named Marvel and a company named Heroic. Those are words.
Yep. Right.
And yet, they're trademarked.
Well, how about the word superhero?
Well, exactly.
Superhero being
that's
co-owned by
Marvel
and DC.
And DC.
Yeah. Go figure
that. Well, according to the story, I guess.
Sign
it's,
all my tax returns, superhero. Is that a problem?
The trademark that Marvel owned ran out from... They didn't use it for whatever number of years
yeah,
it takes.
Yeah, since the 80s.
And
that's because the Champions did so well when the first time Marvel...
They're such a hot commodity.
It was Angel,
Hercules, Ghost Rider.
Iceman.
Yeah, Hercules, Iceman. Ghost Rider, Iceman.
And Hero started
wasn't
publishing.
Son of Satan in that?
Son of Satan, I think, was one of them. I think it was a girl, too.
All your hottest early 80s Marvel characters.
And Tony Isabella, I think, was given the unfortunate like job of like putting that group together and was like, all right, how about these idiots? And it's like, perfect, we'll call them the Champions.
I always
it's
liked,
a great idea.
I always liked Iceman
We're
because he became
not
an accountant.
The Champions.
No, and Matt's We're idea for the new book really does sound cool.
Yeah, it does sound cool.
In the same way that Ex Machina is kind of a cool Brian Vaughn book and then taking the superhero in a different way, I think you're going to see a lot of, as he said, West Wing kind of dynamics to this team.
Yeah. So. I think it'll be fun.
So
it shall be fun.
And I'm sure everything will be sorted out no matter what, whether the book is actually officially titled The Champions or not. I'm sure Marvel will find a way through the red tape.
Oh, I'm sure there's a financial way that...
Well, I even think without even doing that. Because like I said, it goes back to there being, as you said, a company called Marvel and, you know, DC.
No, they're going to call it Champions, but it's going to end in a Z.
Z, so. Champions. Capital Z. Yeah. Champions...
This is Gene Colan, and you are listening to Around Comics.
Zenoscope's Dino Force number one will not ship for... I'm sorry.
Quite the story.
It was good.
For free comic book day.
Yes, oh,
free comic book day.
Zenoscope Entertainment, publisher of the highly popular series Grimm Fairy Tales, and the critically acclaimed
Seven.
Was spelled with a seven in the middle.
In the middle.
For those of you who are not reading
Seven.
This. Regrets to inform fans and retailers that Dino Force number zero will not be shipping on free comic book day.
No! Oh, God!
No! Wow, man. Norton just fucking lost his shit.
Norton not working with Zenoscope anytime soon.
Due to undisclosed legal reasons and Mike Norton, Zenoscope
and
is working
Mike
with
Norton.
Diamond to relist the issue along with number one.
What could
at
be
a
the
discounted
undisclosed
rate of a 50% a book? 50 cents a book?
What do you have?
Yeah, am I reading that right?
Yes.
It's going to be half a buck?
Yeah, it's a pretty
such
good deal.
Such a deal.
Well, on free comic book day, it's not that great a deal. Anyway.
But, oh, I see. It's not so free comic
well,
book day. There's a catch.
I wonder what the undisclosed legal reasons could be.
The
why
comic book is free, but there's a carrying charge.
Well, my father wrote a short-lived Dino Force series that he self-published in the early 80s.
Is he seeking copyright infringement?
Yes, he is.
Thank you.
He wrote two issues. He wrote two issues of a 54-part limited series.
Hey, this involves one of our local friends.
Yeah, you know, the next story I really put in more because of Scotty. Christopher Yost, Craig Kyle, and
hear this
new series artist Scotty Young begin the new X-Men's quest for magic in issue 38 of the X-Men, which is the second issue that Scotty penciled. But I guess I wasn't aware that he was named the new artist. Scotty,
yeah, that happened. I think they announced it maybe at the beginning of the month or end of last.
I missed that. I guess.
Have
I
you had a chance to see any of this?
Oh,
stuff?
I've seen. I, you know.
Well, 37 came out.
I've seen the stuff he's doing for it, and you know, it's kind of like, I don't know if you follow certain artists and then you notice like evolutionary jumps,
sure,
in their style and stuff like that. This is one of those evolutionary jumps where you're just like,
wow, when did that happen? What, right.
Did he jump forward?
Yeah, yeah. It's not backwards.
Yeah,
it's cave painting. No, it's it's pretty amazing to look at and I don't know if you've seen the cover, like this gatefold cover they're doing. Well, not gatefold, but the covers that are going for the arc all match together and create.
Oh,
this
like a big poster,
huge
like a
scene
big
that's just. He showed it to me. And I was just, I was blown away by it. It's
very
just
cool.
Pretty amazing.
Well, congratulations to Scotty. That's awesome to hear that he's on the. That's got to be cool for him. I mean, I'd imagine he's pretty excited about drawing an X-Men book. Even.
And by the way, that's magic spelled with a K. So perhaps they're trademarking that.
Well, it's a character that's been around for a while.
Oh,
magic!
I'm just right here with the trademark update. This is fascinating.
But I did read issue 37.
With the trademark update.
Well, you know, misspelling's been more important than in the trademark
era. I hadn't been reading the new X-Men book, and then when I heard about this, I picked up issue 37 and I read it, and I was.
You didn't get my issue.
Oh, wow. No, snap.
Sorry, Mike.
Burn.
I didn't even know you did an issue.
Nobody does.
What issue did you do?
It's a hidden issue.
You don't even remember.
It's a hidden issue. Secret.
Secret issue. But I didn't know any of the characters. I didn't know really anything of what was going on in that story. But
When I did my issue, I didn't know anything about it. But I went back and I started reading it, and I really got into it.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of flavor that New Mutants has.
That's exactly what I thought. They're, you know, this younger underclassmen of the X-Men, and that was exactly the feeling that I got from it, too, was New X-Men, you know, when they first came out, and it was good.
Like 57 characters die every issue, so it's awesome.
They introduce characters and kill them. Yeah, exactly. They manage
Same
to kill
panel.
Characters before they're introduced. Yep. They find a way to murder them.
Collectors may want to take note. Next story, Comic Base launches Comic Base Free. The world's number one program for managing comic collections. I know a lot of people know about Comic Base. It was a kind of expensive program to download and keep your collections, and it's a big database program. They have now a free version of it. I did attempt to download it, but it's like 120-something megabyte of a download, and I'm like, I'm not really that worried about keeping track of my comics that I want to... But if you are, I've heard it's a great program. I just haven't used it, but you can get a free version of it now. Hey, Tom, this is something that probably interests you. Avril Lavigne's manga, Back to Press.
I'm a huge fan of Skater Boy. It's one of my favorite songs of all time.
You should be ashamed to even know that.
I don't want to go into it.
Well, if you're going to connect to young girls, I mean, you can do worse. So
she's Canadian.
You know. Yeah, hey, you know, I don't know. I haven't read it, but...
What makes more sense than to promote a Canadian than Japanese manga?
Sure.
It's almost a Expo 76 or 67 kind of feel for
it's
the
futuristic,
whole
thing. My friend.
Well, and I guess the album packaging of her new album, The Best Damn Thing, promotes the book also, the manga, so...
Very cool.
Yeah. Hey, get more people to read comics. What the hell?
How weird is this, man? Just a week ago, the BC creator, Johnny Hart passes away.
And then,
And then his collaborist on The Wizard of Id, Brant Parker, dies right afterwards.
Brant Parker, Wizard of Id cartoonist, died at age 86.
Loved Wizard of Id. I don't know about you guys. Seriously.
It
was a great comic as well, but both of those really were fun comics. I was a fan.
It was part of my my regular daily pouring over of the comic strips. It was a big one.
Hill,
big,
you're
God,
house.
I didn't realize that.
I mean, what didn't Johnny Hart work on though?
He did.
Johnny Hart was one of the most prolific writers. But I loved Wizard of Id.
Yeah, great Gagman. I mean, that's the thing. You know, try and knock out being funny 5 days a week, and putting in four panels. That's... You know, I mean, that's you.
Hey,
really
I can barely do it here, and I've been sitting here for hours.
Hey, now.
He's furiously drawing that.
Farewell to Brant Parker.
Yep.
The Luna Brothers ended this week. I just thought it'd be interesting.
They ended?
They didn't end. They're still around.
Well, the girls. I'm sorry. They ended the girls this week with issue number 24, the last issue.
Those guys are so good, and they really are. They're great writers, great artists, and I had a blast talking to them on Word Balloon, and look forward to their next new project, and it'll give me an excuse to wrap around and talk about this great series, because Girls was awesome, and I really loved Ultra.
I thought it was one of the more interesting and sort of... creative series that came out in a while, you know.
Did you ever read Girls, Hill?
I've dated Girls. I haven't.
I've seen women.
Bobby.
He read their tattoos on what they said on their ass, but
I've seen women.
Part of my problem is I usually misread them.
And,
you know, it's like stop, go. I can't figure that out.
Sega and Marvel signed a new deal this week. Sega signed a deal for the release of 3 video games based on upcoming Marvel film projects. Incredible Hulk, Captain America, and Thor. So, there you go. You're going to see more Marvel Sega games.
Thank God.
In 2008. Lawrence Fishburne is announced as the voice of the Silver Surfer in the upcoming Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
I like that Variety quote.
Variety broke the story, letting the world know Lawrence Fishburne is waxing his board the sequel of the Fantastic Four. The interesting thing, earlier on the internet, the rumors were going around that he was the voice of Galactus, and that, you know, Galactus was going to be in the film. You know, we don't know yet, but
Gilbert Gottfried.
So, you're my herald! That's why I'm eating my planet!
That'd be awesome.
I think we'll they're going in a different direction, but that really would be fun. Yes.
Why'd you give them the ultimate nullifier?
Alan Moore's hypothetical lizard is going to be collected in a trade paperback, $14.99, and also a $24.99 hardcover, including the full text from Moore's original story and design sketches from artists Lorenzo Lorente and Sebastian Fiumara.
Oddly enough, I heard that Alan is also waxing his
dolphin.
Hey now, the hardcover.
Hypothetical lizard.
It's surfboard.
The hardcover edition is limited to 750 copies, but if you're a fan of that book, it will be out in trade at least.
Don't laugh, guys. It's better than waning. Waxing?
Waning.
Oh.
Boo. Astronomy humor.
2007 Eisner Award nominations were announced this week.
Did they do that on Tuesday morning on Good Morning America? Did they break and go for the live reading of the nominations?
We got nominated. No.
Excellent.
There's no podcast.
It's not like the Oscars?
There's been a lot of already people talking about this as one of the maybe better round of nominations as far as the eclectic mix and variety involved in the nominations this year. 29 categories encompassing a full spectrum of comic art form from new takes on traditional superheroes at Brubaker's Daredevil, Captain America, and Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman, to experimental stuff like Brian Chippendale's Ninja Graphic album, The Kramer's Ergot Anthology. But, there were a lot of stuff in the nominations that people talked about. The trend of many more female nominees, led by multiple nominations for Allison
Bechtel
Funholm. Renee French is The Ticking. And an interesting thing about female creators, 8-year-old Alexa Kitchen is the youngest Eisner nominee ever for Drawing Comics is Easy, Except When It's Hard, for Best Publication for a Younger Audience.
She'll get like the Shirley Temple Tiny Oscar. She'll get like the Tiny Eisner.
God damn it. She break into comics.
I thought one of the most interesting parts of this, Fantagraphics had the most nominations by a publisher with 22, while DC was the runner-up with 18 and 7 shared. Nominations. So, I mean, Fantagraphics having 22 nominations in the Eisners is pretty impressive. Marvel
Comics. The diversity that they represent, though, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Marvel had one of its best years with 9 nominations. Brubaker's Captain America, Daredevil, and Criminal all were nominated. And
good for Criminal.
For 5 of the 9, yeah.
I mean, you expect Captain America and Daredevil, which have been out mainstream standouts.
Right. I think both of those books, I think maybe both of those books are nominated for Best Ongoing. Which
surprised me. They've both been excellent this year.
Dark Horse claims 5 nominations of its own and share 5 others. Multiple nominees are Tony Millionaire's Sock Monkey. What else was in
Scarlet
here?
Scarlet Traces,
yeah.
Which is that great War of the Worlds continuation that Ian Eddington has been doing, or Edgington, pardon me. It really is a great story, and it's like, you know, okay, fine, the British beat the Martians, and now they have all the Martian technology, and what happens after War of the Worlds? It's been, it's been a great series.
I think Dave Walker had picked that as his top of the stack 1 week.
Very cool
show.
Series.
Lost Girls got 3, and then they split the foreign publication category into 2 other categories in order to create a separate category for manga. Dropped the best serialized story category and reinstated the best humor publication category, and then changed talent deserving of wider recognition to special recognition. So just some changes. One of the other things I took notice of was a book that I loved when it came out last year on Free Comic Book Day, which was Ironside Tom. It was a Free Comic Book Day book. It was basically like advanced stick figures, but it was one of the best books that I read on Free Comic Book Day. It was just this fun, and it got nominated for Best Short or Best Single Issue or something like that. It was just a great little book.
What are advanced stick figures, if I may ask?
Well...
Stick figures with feeling.
Stick figures with cast shadows.
They were like, they were like, I don't know. I mean, like, maybe accessories. they would have, like, hats.
Tool
and
belts and things? Yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. Okay. They weren't just, I guess. They were amazingly sort of expressive. So very widespread grouping of... widespread grouping. Widespread selection.
Exactly.
Words I am saying to fill
yes,
time.
Exactly. Sorry.
The eyes are great.
The bullet holes aren't grouped together tightly enough. There's a widespread group.
Tight.
Have you all really? Right, no, all honestly, right. I was at last year's Eisner Awards, and it was very interesting. It was the first time I'd ever been, and real nice, interesting moment seeing guys.
Think there'll ever be like a best podcasting Eisner Award?
I don't
no,
care.
Because
I don't.
I have no faith in
we're
that.
Not getting it. We're not getting it for tonight.
They don't have yeah, that's
they
for
don't
sure.
Best website yet, which is kind of interesting.
They have publication.
Harveys.
They have best.
Well, and do webs? I guess
comic book publication.
Journalist.
I don't know if.
Well, I don't even remember. I mean, that's the thing. I went, and I mean, it was fun because it really was this exposure to a bunch of books that I hadn't been aware of. A lot of
sure.
independent stuff, but. You know, it's...
I'd like to go check it out sometime. I've never been.
Come to San Diego, my man.
Yeah, well. DC partnered with MySpace for the exclusive Countdown preview.
This is... I think MySpace has made a very interesting kind of...
Push?
Yes, to garner favor from the comic fans. I mean, and going back to New York when they did their special panel mm-hmm. with Steve Niles, Garth Ennis, and Jim Lee.
Their secret panel? That was
exactly.
weird. It was exciting, but it's like in this industry, as much as people promote stuff to try and get, and it was like their secret panel that you have these huge names, but nobody knew who they were going to be.
Well, they got a nice
they
size
got a good
group
crowd,
regardless,
yeah.
and again, yeah, it was an interesting conversation between Garth, Steve, and Jim.
Yeah,
so that's kind of cool. And now,
but they're definitely
yeah,
making a concerted effort towards trying to becoming more of a destination for comic book fans.
And I guess DC is doing this for Countdown. They're going to have a preview of the first two issues of the series.
Well, they have a trailer up.
MySpace.com/comicbooks.
They've had a trailer up on their website for.
Have you been to MySpace?
On the DC site?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Hillary.
Have you been to MySpace?
I have not. I did not know. I was at your website.
No, well, go
I can't. My internet connection is down. I can't go anywhere right now.
I mean, if nothing. Rick LeMenner had me join when we were doing last Christmas. They were doing some promotion on there, Brian.
They forced you to join.
So they're like, oh, you got to join. So I get a page, and I'm like,
here we go.
Well, what do I do now? And people, like, I would look at it every 6 months, I think, you know, and people. I would like answer a letter, you know, somebody sent me something.
I bet
what
you
is
got
your MySpace?
Tons of friends. I got
MySpace.com/
what
Hillary Barta?
It's gotta be. I didn't make it anything fancy. It's just me. Yeah.
All right, let's see. Let's see if I can look it up here.
I bet you got a lot of requests from young women who are dressed scandalously. Because
yes,
I know I'm
a
good-looking guy, but my MySpace
quickly, says invalid friend ID, so that didn't.
You pretty quickly. I don't even know how to. Yeah.
How do you spell your name?
H-I-L-A-R-Y.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Hilary.
Hilarity. Hilarity Barta.
Did you do a book called Satan's Three-Ring Circus of Hell?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're listed on that.
Hilarity Barta.
You're on The Last Christmas.
Go to Last Christmas and see if there's a friend. Wouldn't you be on the top
well,
10
yeah.
for Last Christmas?
Well, who knows? I might be on 30,000.
Page 7.
Brian and Rick have, like, turned on you? That they're
no, why would they keep me in the top 10?
Because you're on the book.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't even know. Right. I didn't even know you titled your pages. I just, you know.
That's about it. That will wrap up Wire to Wire comic book news.
This has been the news. We hope you enjoyed it.
And now it is time for Top of the Stack.
Top
of the Stack.
Of the Stack.
That's right. It's Top of the Stack. A chance for us to let you know what we've been reading. Tom, why don't you start us off?
I always start us.
You're
always.
The guy.
If anyone else were to do it, I would get angry. But I wouldn't say it. I would hold it inside. my top of the stack is Invincible number 40 by Kirkman, Otley, and Crabtree. Mike's
reading it in
are
trade.
You, like, 3 issues in, probably. I know you. You're like 3 issues
I'm
in.
I'm actually
you know
behind
what
it. So I'm reading it.
I'm not going to spoil it for you. What I love, it has a great cover, number one, because it has tiny little squids. on it, which I always think is a funny
which
thing.
Is always
it's
good.
One of those great villains, is a group of squids that can form a giant brain. But it's a high adventure book with a true sense of danger to it. You see characters put in situations that you haven't seen them put in before. You see characters die. You see other characters have to like deal with death. And then at the end, you have the solicitation for the next issue, which tells you that they win. Which I think is great. Because obviously he's going to win.
And I think it's just a great book. The art is fantastic. Great story. Done well. It's high adventure. It's fun. I got nothing more to say.
Well, Invincible is one of those books that is just, like, consistently good. I'm reading it in trade. And when it first came out, I wasn't really that interested in it. I was just thinking, oh, it's just another superhero book. I thought maybe it was, you know, another teen hero book. I wasn't really that interested in it. But, yeah, once you get into it, you realize there's so much more in that story, and it's really good stuff and fun. And it's more, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's like most people, it's like, oh, it's just this fun superhero book. But it's really a lot more than that. It's much better than that, and it's almost a disservice to just say it's like this fun superhero book. There's really good story, character development, and story development.
Well, sorry that I said it was a fun superhero book.
No, Kirkman.
Well, no, I just
Kirkman created this entire new universe of characters, and some are recognizable ciphers, but I think they have their own unique voice. He took a Spider-Man template and turned it on its ear, and then really I think went into a very interesting direction with it. And there's a reason why Robert Kirkman is a popular writer. He's good.
He's good. John, what have you been reading?
Unfortunately my stack remains massive. I haven't really been able to attack it, but I did make time for the new Justice League of America issue 8. Brad Meltzer, Shane Davis, and Matt Banning are the team. It's the start of the Lightning Strike saga, which is the team-up of the JLA, the JSA, and the Legion.
Mm-hmm.
And much like those great team-ups of the 70s and early 80s, this book retains the voice of those great Len Wein, Jerry Conway, Kurt Busiek stories of those classic JLA-JSA team-ups. There was the one unique time that the Legion was also the third team, in much the same way that the Seven Soldiers were once the third team and the Freedom Fighters were once the third team. I really have enjoyed the entire run that Meltzer has been doing on JLA. I know that there are some people that think that he's giving too many C-level characters a front stage and that the big three are always in the background. I have no problem with it, and in this one you get a more active role from the big three, but also it retains the charm of those old team-ups. From the little battle scenario that they do to train the C-level heroes and playing kind of a form of Capture the Flag, which I think has a lot of characterization and good action, to that great double-page spread of the teams finally like getting together and bonding and just hanging out. And it's so great because, and Caters and I were talking about it a day or two ago, because back in the 70s, it would be that deliberate, hey, wink, wink, you may want to read some of these other books and see what's going on. Like,
hey,
Wonder Woman.
You're made out of clay, but on my Earth, I'm not made out of clay.
Yeah, the two Wonder Woman would talk. Or like, so, Diana, how's it doing not having your powers anymore and always wearing white and kicking like Diana Rigg? You know, and I mean, it's like, okay. You know,
that was a fun, very fun two-page spread.
Yeah, I mean, just great little characterization.
And love how, obviously, Superman would be the one that would get along with the old guy the best.
Yeah,
he's such a fucking Eddie Haskell. Yeah, he's hey, Jay, I'll talk to the oldest guy first.
My favorite is Roy Harper being the reformed addict going to Hourman and saying, hey, man, whenever you decide you want help, I can be your sponsor and everything, which I'd like to see that actually kind of happen. And the art has been so gorgeous. Ed Bennis did such a great job on the first seven issues, or eight issues, I guess, if you count issue zero. And Shane Davis continues. I mean, the women look gorgeous. The men look heroic.
You know, the only thing about that was like the only issue. The only problem I had with that issue was Shane Davis's art. I love his stuff on Captain Comet.
Uh-huh.
But I thought they should have used the same inker from Captain Comet. I don't know who
the Mystery
was.
The Mystery in Space book.
They should have used the same inker on this book because I thought that was the only downfall of this issue was, but not horrible. Certainly not horrible in any regard. But I just thought it.
Well, this is Brad. I think as spectacular as the art is subordinate to Brad's story, and I think Brad's the star of this book. And I'm taking nothing away from the artist, but I think it's been great to see his love of this late 70s, early 80s era presented in a modern way. And especially the final page has that great classic kind of breakdown of the teams. Just the breakdown of the rosters and stuff like that. And it's been a great ride so far. We're at the halfway point, and Brad Meltzer and Jeff Johns writing the same story. I think it's going to be guaranteed success.
Yeah, absolutely.
And looking forward to talking to Brad on an upcoming episode of Word Balloon. Dropped me an email this week.
Oh, very
my
cool.
name dropping for the episode. And no, I you know, much like the Book of JLA 1 had the first chapter of the Book of Fate in it, his novel that came out in the fall. The paperback edition is coming out this spring, and in fact will be in stores.
And it has four panels from Justice League American.
It has more than four panels, but it does have
really?
Have JLA 1.
Well, very good. It's very nice of him turning the Book of Fate. Very cool.
So yeah, there's good cross promotion, and Brad is a New York Times best-selling author, so. Much as I think the comic fans were exposed to his novel work and it helped the sales of the Book of Fate, I do believe that you might see some crossover, hopefully, from his novel readers to maybe check out his superhero work.
Very cool. Hillary, you been reading anything? You want to talk about anything you want to say you've liked, enjoyed?
The Simpsons.
The Simpsons?
I have been reading The Simpsons, yeah.
Very cool. Any specific, like, just all the Bongo comics in general?
Well, there's the Simpsons comic.
Right.
That's the most specific. I didn't mention, you know,
idiot.
Bart Simpson, Boy Blunder.
Okay.
I didn't, you know.
A radioactive man.
All right.
No, but I actually have been reading The Simpsons because I'm working on a story, so I've been reading that and enjoying the
comic. And enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm looking for, like, a reference for a character, and then I, you know, get caught up in the story. And pretty soon I've wasted 6 hours reading a stack of comics and, you know. Happily so.
Well, that's good. It's a testament to.
It's a great book. I always end up buying it for my nephews who seem to really enjoy the humor comics, and those are the ones that they love because they love the cartoons so much. And you know, I said this on a show that will be airing, I think, on Thursday. I think it has the most consistent voice of a licensed book, and it's because it's an in-house production. I mean, this is Matt Groening's people. You know. Working on these books, or at least they're hiring guys like Hillary. And
no,
I was going to say Hillary. You,
I really haven't done any regular Simpsons stuff. But I've done a couple stories, but for Radioactive Man. Anyway. No, they're great books, though. They're fun. Yeah.
All right. Fun. Well,
it's like the lost episodes of The Simpsons,
exactly
in comic book form.
It really is. I mean, it really retains the voice of the shows.
I'm telling you.
All right, I'll look it up.
Gail
Simone, believe you.
Writer of Mike Norton's new book,
All New Adam. Also a fine Simpsons writer as well. I don't think you believe us, Sal. We're not going to leave until you have a Simpsons Bongo comic in your hands.
Am I wrong?
I have no idea. All right, moving on.
You're right.
Please, moving on.
First, Caters.
I don't even have a top of the stack this week. Okay, that's it for top of the stack.
You don't have a top of the stack?
No.
For real?
I didn't like anything I read this week.
Truly?
It all was...
Really? Hey, what are you talking about? You didn't even like my cameo in Ultimate Spider-Man 108?
What was on the bottom of your stack?
Yeah. What was the worst thing?
Ooh, what was the worst thing I read this week? It was an independent. What the hell was it? It was something from.
Really? You didn't like anything?
No, I'm kidding. I didn't. I like.
What'd you like?
Ex Machina. I wanted to mention Ex Machina 27.
Sweet. Haven't had a chance to read it.
You know, there wasn't anything particular about this issue that really blew me away, but I just sort of wanted to mention it because it's such a good book, issue after issue after issue, and it's just another good, I mean, solid,
it's
great art.
Of why Brian K. Vaughan is awesome.
Yeah,
and Tony
I mean,
Harris
it's
awesome.
Just it's like one of those books I think people maybe like either overlook or take for granted because it's always good, it's always on time, it's always just solid stuff. I know. Some people don't particularly care for Tony Harris's art.
Really?
Sort of like the hyper-realistic, you know, facial expressions and that kind of stuff. But I think in this book in particular it really works well because it's so grounded in reality. And it's just another example of, you know, Vaughn mixing so many different sort of genres and things into the same comic. So it's really good stuff.
It's the best political superhero comic
political
book that
thriller, mystery, sci-fi, action, adventure. I mean, it's got everything in it. It's just
that's
a ton of stuff. So I really like that. But that will end our top of the stack. I just wanted to mention a few things here at the end of the show. If you are a fan of the show and would like to help us get even more people involved, there are plenty of ways for you to help. There's our Listener LCS Challenge, where you can go to our website, aroundcomics.com, and download a flyer. Have your local comic shop put it up, and we'll mention them on the show. Comicspace.com/aroundcomics, myspace.com/aroundcomics, or write us an iTunes review at the iTunes store.
You're not going to say it? Be as cool as Andy Parks?
Be as cool as Andy Parks. Check out all the great things Around Comics has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at comicpodcast.com.
And just so that you are aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum at aroundcomics.com.
Again, we'd like to thank Borders for sponsoring this episode. Are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Hillary, Mike Norton, John Suntress, Tom, Mark at Dark Tower for hosting us as always.
God up in heaven for giving us the power to do this show.
Everyone have a fantastic week. We'll be back again on Thursday with another new episode when we're joined by Hillary once again. He talks about his breaking into comics, freelancing. Mike joins us somewhere.
Mike chimes in.
We talk about life
Mike's
as
keeping
freelance.
Up the illusion.
Freelance artist.
Sorry, Mom.
And an important life lesson about how not to feed bears.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we talk about bears.
Can't forget about that time. But in the meantime.
In between time.
We will be everywhere in
and around
comics.
Bear attack.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007. All rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. Baby, love you one more time.